I'm giving you what I get. And so ready yourself. If you have your Bibles, the scriptures will be up on the overhead as always, but sometimes you like to read it in your own version or translation. Colossians chapter 4, 1 to 6. Thank you for your word, Lord. I so appreciate God's word and the life that is always in it and the solutions for all of life's problems and challenges that are contained in his word. Amen. Fellow workers, this chapter is entitled, Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned. Paul speaking here. That I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. It's never an accident or coincidental. Every person that you encounter every day of your life, God has a purpose, God has ordained it, and we need to slow down. We're so busy, we're so always in a hurry, and we can miss those opportunities to do just what the Apostle Paul is saying here in Colossians chapter 4. During corporate prayer, God began to speak and open up something to me this week about the season that we are in, meaning the body of Christ, Freedom Worship Center, and certainly you and I as well. The things God has ordained for us to face, to conquer, to be victorious in, the people that God has specifically chosen for you and I to minister his love and his life to. So subsequently, I spent time listening and studying what God was saying. And at first, I received the scripture from James 1:17, which speaks of the giftings that God has given to each blood-bought believer. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow or shadow of turning. And then verse 18, in the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we might, as it were, be the first fruits among his creatures. God doesn't change his mind. That turning is talking about probably the word for repentance, which is meaning a turning. Just because you blow it sometimes, you miss the mark, doesn't mean God says, okay, I'm done with that one. Aren't you glad? that he's patient, he's long-suffering, he's merciful and compassionate towards us, so that those giftings that he wants to bubble up and bubble out from us, he doesn't take them back. He doesn't say, well, you know, I'm going to raise up someone else. Well, if we're disobedient and refuse, yes, he will raise someone up. But ultimately, God will ready us and prepare us and empower us to do what he's ordained for us to do. And if we continue there in James to verse 21, I'm rambling, sorry. Not rambling, but I'm circulating. It says, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. And it's not just talking about when you're born again or salvation there. How many of you know that you're going to need to continue to be saved? That you're going to continue to need to rely and trust in and receive from the Lord to meet the challenges that you're going to face maybe even today or tomorrow. But that word has been implanted, or I looked up in Vine's expository, it says engrafted or a rooted word. And as we received him, and as we walk in him, that rooted word, or that word of the Lord, that living word, begins to extend its roots and get us more and more established in our life. But that's up to us. That's not up to the Lord. Depends how we respond to his dealings and to the challenges he places before us. So the Holy Spirit began to speak to me further on this about open doors, doors that he intends to open, doors that he desires to open for me, for you, for all of us. And we're in a season of increased visibility and fairness and favor. Yeah, fairness too. Maybe I can get my tongue to come into cooperation with the Holy Spirit this morning. Because we are carriers of that word of truth. We're carriers of his light and of his presence. So wherever we go, we carry that deposit or that implanted word, as well as his presence and his light and his truth. And what I began to notice this week was how he was putting people, when I would slow down and not be so goal-oriented. I know maybe you're not that way, but I am. My wife says I'm on a mission. I have ideas of what I want to get done, and anything else is a distraction. That's not a good thing sometimes when God has other things in mind. And so I had an older woman approach me and comment on my t-shirt. I had a young black woman do the same. I had a young man with a Mohawk haircut approach me and strike up a conversation. And then yesterday I had a woman, a lonely older woman, in the supermarket just start talking to me in the meat department. Can God have encounters in the meat department? Yes, he can. And yes, he does. So just be aware of these things. They're simple, but, you know, if you can just slow down, you're going to see the opportunities that God is laying out as Paul's saying here, to speak forth the mystery of Christ, the gospel message. So that I've entitled this morning's message, Maximize Your Moments. And that kind of goes along with what the Holy Spirit was saying to me earlier about clearing the decks. Getting anything out of the way that might prevent you from getting the most out of what God intends. So to maximize something means to make the best use of or find the maximum value in or assign maximum importance to. So there are a number of things in this short group of scriptures here in Colossians 4. The first thing to maximize your moments is in interaction or treatment of others. That's a big one. And I was put to the test even yesterday because I went to Walmart and I was impatient with the young gal at the help counter, whatever they call it, customer service. And I ended up apologizing to her for being impatient and saying I was sorry because I wasn't even practicing what the Lord was revealing to me to share with you. So the principle here in verse 1 is talking about masters and their slaves, but the principle is justice and fairness. What does that mean? Jesus actually had a number of things in the Gospels that he spoke to us about this. Luke 6:31. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. Matthew 7:12. Therefore, however you want people to treat you, so treat them. This is the law and the prophets. Or the Passion reads that part. That is the essence of all the teachings of the law and the prophets. Of course, that's called the golden rule. Galatians 5:14. And the whole law is fulfilled in one word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Of course, you have to love yourself. You have to be secure in who you are in Him. And then you can love freely. Romans 13:8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Romans 8:10. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. So we would do well if we would ask ourselves WWJD in all these people encounters, all these situational encounters, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? And we should approximate that, or try to at least, live like Him, exemplify His life. Secondly, maximize your moment in prayer. And it's no secret, whenever we decide to pray, umpteen things begin to flood this unruly member right here and distract us so we cannot focus on our time, whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or an hour, that we've intended to devote to prayer, everything else begins to flood our minds. And we have to maximize our prayer time and shed those things. It says there in verse 2 in Colossians 4, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it. That would, I could probably paraphrase that by saying, stay on target in your prayer. Stay focused in your prayer. And then also, I found that sometimes I intend to pray one thing, but the Holy Spirit has something else in mind, or he changes the focus or the target of prayer. It may be the same person or situation, but he may give me additional input so I can pray effectively. And that's the goal. Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. With this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So we have to learn to persevere in prayer, press past those things that would sidetrack us, distract us, help us to, or intend to diminish or the importance of our focus, of our prayer, and keep pressing forward. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension or understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, what it's saying there is, when we commit these things that are seeking to detour us or distract us or get us off track, when we yield those things to him, our cares, that's what being anxious for nothing means. Don't worry about those things. This time for God to deal with those things that concern you, and you can be sure that he will. But not during prayer. That's a precious time. That's time in his presence for him to give you input, to strengthen you, to give you boldness and courage to do that which he intends for you to do, or to say those things that you may not want to say. I mean, there's been plenty of times in my life I didn't want to. It's not about what I want to do, it's but about what I need to do or say. You know, sometimes we get skittish about conflict, but really we can't let conflict just continue and be unresolved. And I was remembering the precious hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, which talks about the privilege we have of bringing things to him in prayer, bringing everything to him, taking everything to the Lord in prayer. You know, when we do that, it's as if a great weight has been lifted off of us. So we need to understand the power of prayer. I think sometimes we think it's just words, or sometimes we may not even think God's going to hear our prayer, let alone answer our prayer. But the scripture tells us we have this confidence. John wrote it, that if he hears us, we know that he hears us, and we know it sets in motion things to resolve that or answer that prayer. The issue is sometimes we want it now. And it's far more important what God does in the process of answering that prayer than the actual answer, the work he does in you and I. And we need to make prayer the first response, not the last resort. You know, we can scheme and we can try to do it on our own. Anybody out there know what I'm speaking about? We think we can resolve it, when it's really God wants us to turn to Him and let Him do it. It's a pride thing. So maximize your moments with the Lord by living by the golden rule, first of all, which we spoke about, and making prayer a priority. And I would even say, I mean, we are living in times where prayer is essential for us to survive, not just to get by, but for our very survival. Hebrews 7:25, He, Jesus, is able to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He lives to make intercession for them. If we don't give those things to Him, how is He going to make intercession for them? It's called partnering with the Lord. It's called walking in covenant with the Lord. He's concerned about things that concern you. Maximizing your moments in your attitude. Here's a big one. Tells us here to have an attitude of thanksgiving, not just during prayer, but especially in prayer. And what does that mean? Thanking the Lord for answering before we see the manifestation of the answer. Believing, having faith, trusting Him for that resolution or that answer before it comes to pass or comes to fruition. Literally, what I'm thinking that means is to be Christ-centered, not self-centered. There's two approaches to life. You in the center, or Christ in the center. And how well have you seen it work when you're the center and you leave Him out? Not very well. So it talks about being like Christ in Philippians, the second chapter. It's a little long here, there's a number of verses, but I think it speaks well to this aspect of our attitude. Philippians 2, starting at verse 3, "Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men." There's a powerful theological concept here called kenosis, which says, basically, even though He was God, and He could have acted on that, He gave that up. I'm paraphrasing what it is, but He chose to become a servant of mankind, a bondservant, willfully, by choice. "Being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." So, sometimes we have to choose to be thankful. We have to choose, when we want to have a bad attitude, we have to choose not to. We have to choose not to say things sometimes that we want to say. You want to release some bullets sometimes. some ammunition. And you can't take back those words because the Bible says there's life and death in the power of the tongue. So it says this in the Psalms. Psalms 50, verse 14. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for this difficult person that you've allowed in my life because you are working something in me that obviously needs work. And so, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Colossians 3, 14 to 16. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart. You know, it's a choice. I found myself struggling with some things this week, but I also found myself singing. The Holy Spirit was as if the Holy Spirit was rolling song after song into my spirit to help me what? Rise above, to lead me into my victory over this in Christ. Another example about attitude here from our brother Chuck Swindoll. Words can never adequately convey the incredible impact of our attitude toward life. The longer I live, the more convinced I become that life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we respond to it. I believe the single most significant decision I can make on a day-to-day basis is my choice of attitude. It is more important than my past, my education, my bankroll, my successes or failures, fame or pain, what other people think of me or say about me, my circumstances or my position. Attitude keeps me going or cripples my progress. It alone fuels my fire or assaults my hope. When my attitude is right, there's no barrier too high, no valley too deep, no dream too extreme, no challenge too great for me. From his book, Strengthening Your Grip. And I have really appreciated the writings of this man over the years. You can't deny reality. You can't deny the facts when something happens. It did happen. You can't say it didn't, but you can choose how you respond to that. You can choose to respond with a good attitude or an attitude of gratitude. Faith says, Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So we need to choose to have an attitude of gratitude, and then he will give us his peace and his power to prevail, whatever the challenge, whatever the circumstances. Number four, maximizing your moments in opportunities, verse 5, where it says, making the most of the opportunity in Colossians 4, verse 5. that many of you might notice in your Bible, it says that expression, making the most of the opportunity, is redeeming the time, maximizing that opportunity or the time God has given you in that circumstance or opportunity. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time. Same expression, time or opportunity. It's the same word. Making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Galatians 6, verse 10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. 1 Peter 5, 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time or opportunity. Those are all the same word there that talks about us redeeming the time or making the most of the opportunity the Lord gives us. So we need to, according to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not on this, our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path or make our path straight or give us the answers that we need in that situation or with that person. Maximizing your moments by exercising faith and putting your trust unreservedly, completely, in him. And number 5, maximizing your moments in conduct or in your witness. What people are going to see, do they see Jesus or do they see your flesh? That's up to you. It talks about there in verse 6, speech seasoned with grace, or being gracious, or extending grace, knowing how to respond to each person. You know, as a parent, I have had my share of challenges with my two children, and they're grown up now, but they're still my children, and they still present challenges. But what I learned was I couldn't treat my son or speak to my son the way I would speak to my daughter, or I couldn't speak to my daughter the way I would speak to my son, because it wouldn't bear the right fruit. It wouldn't bring results that would glorify the Lord. How to respond to each person. So we need to show or extend grace, that same grace that was extended to us. Talks about that. Ephesians 2:8, by grace we were saved, not anything we did, but it is a gift from him. And Ephesians 4:29, your word should extend grace to those who hear. 1 Peter 4:11, whoever speaks, whoever serves, it's a sobering scripture here for us. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God, the very words, hopefully, that God would speak. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. And Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. This life is not without its challenges, but it's filled with opportunities also. So we need to live for Jesus and live like Jesus. And we need to know Jesus and know his word. That life changing, that life giving word. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So, maximizing your moments means serving Christ and serving others with his grace, his love, and his power for his glory. 1 John 5:4, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. So God bless you as you rise to meet those challenges. Even when you walk out this door, these doors this morning, you don't know what awaits you. You may have plans, but you don't know how those plans may be altered or how God may intervene today, tomorrow, when you go to work. You don't know what things you're going to face. You don't know what you're going to face on the highway tomorrow. But he does. So God bless you as you commit these things to him completely so you can maximize your moments. God bless you.